living God, Spirit of the living God, we only wanna hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we wanna know you more and more. We're hanging on every word. 'Cause when you speak, when you move, when you do,
Well, good morning again. It's good to see each of you. I wish I could see you, but I can't, but hopefully you're watching me. We're glad that you're tuning in today. But today we're going to be looking back in the book of Hebrews. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 32 through 39. So let me have a quick prayer with us as we go into the Word of God this morning and just pray for, continue to pray for our nation and for all of those who are affected by the virus and all of the nurses and the doctors. So let's pray quickly this morning. Father, we thank you today for your grace. We thank you for another day where we can come and worship you. Even though it's on the internet, we still are able to study your Word together and just feel your presence in our life. We thank you for that. I do continue to pray for our nation, Lord. I ask that you would just be with those who are hurting right now because of this virus. Lord, for those families who are suffering because of death from this virus, I pray your comfort upon them. But Lord, mostly I pray that you would comfort not only those families, but Lord, that you'd be with and protect the doctors and the nurses who are working tirelessly, Lord, to help those who are affected. I pray, Lord, that you would just guide them and guard them, Lord, and give them energy and strength. Lord, especially for those hot spot areas where it seems like the hospitals are overrun, I just pray that you would just, as they were trying to do alternative measures to get people in beds, I pray that you would just help them through that. Lord, I pray for our leaders as they decide what to do and other steps that might be taken. And I just pray that you'd bless them and use them during this time. But Lord, I pray that your hand would just eradicate this virus, Lord, that we would just be able to go back to our normal lives, Lord. And just pray for those today who are losing their jobs, God, that you would provide for them. I ask that you would just give them, Lord, the things that they need. And Lord, for all of those who are hurting today, I pray your hand. We have people in our church, Lord, that are in the hospital, that are sick, and I just lay them upon your throne this morning and ask your hand upon them. But right now, Lord, just open up our hearts today. Let us be receptive to your word, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are glad that you are tuning in. We're going to read in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse number 32, and the writer says, "But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." When we trust the Lord Jesus in our life, when we get saved and believe on him by faith, we commit ourselves, we commit our life totally to him. He becomes the Lord of our life, and we give to him everything that we have in our life, and we say, "Lord, we're going to be committed to you, and we're going to live faithfully for you." And when we do that, there should be no turning back, as the writer of Hebrews is talking about here. We should not waver. We should keep on that path, and we should go firmly in the direction of following the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus put it this way in the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 62. He says, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." I think that could very well be the theme of the entire book of Hebrews, because the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't turn back, go all the way, set your sights on Christ, and then do what God has saved you to do. Keep following, keep pursuing, and be the believer, be the Christian that God wants you to be, wants all of us to be. So that's kind of the theme that the writer of Hebrews is touching on all the way through the book as we've been studying it. Continue on in your life. Continue to follow Christ, be that committed believer to him. Well, there are some compelling reasons in these verses why those of us who know Jesus as our Savior ought to never turn back on Him. And the first one is because of our past victories. And I find that in verses 32 through 34. He says in verse number 32, he says, "But recall the former days." One of the things I think that will give encouragement and will fill us with courage as we move forward for Jesus is to look back to some of the victories that we've experienced in the past in our own lives and realize how God brought us through every single one of those experiences. Maybe challenges, maybe victories or whatever they were, but how God brought us through every single one of those. So first of all, think about your salvation. The earlier days when you first gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when you were saved and you started living for Christ? I mean, I can remember the day that I got saved as a 13-year-old boy. I remember that so vividly in my mind. It has never left my mind. I can still recall what was happening that night. He says, I want you to remember those kind of days. Remember the former days. He says, after you were illuminated. Now, that word illuminated means that the light was turned on. And, of course, we know that that is talking about when, after us living in the spiritual darkness, when Jesus came into our life, the light of His glory shone in our life. We became illuminated by His presence in our life. The Bible says that we are in sin without Christ, and when we get Christ, we become out of that spiritual darkness into the glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't turn back because of what Christ has already done for you, in that He has come and saved you. When you were born again, He put a light in your life. And of course, I think that's the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. But secondly, He says, I want you to remember also the struggles. Now that seems a little odd. Remember the victories, but also the struggles. He says, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. See, as these Hebrews people became saved, they became Christians, they went through some very dramatic experiences, and most of them suffered greatly. Now, you may not have suffered to the degree that they had suffered, but I believe that every person who has genuinely believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has that life-changing experience with Christ, encounters to some degree the kinds of things that are said here about these believers in the book of Hebrews. The word struggle there is where we get our word athlete. I think the Greek word is athletos. He's comparing living for the Lord as being an athlete and giving everything you've got for the Lord. Think about how athletes train, how they struggle to get to the physical shape that they're in, how they struggle to get to meet the endurance that they are required to have when they run their races or when they wrestle or whatever sport that they're in. Well, a great struggle has begun as we have started our Christian life. He says in verse 33, you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations. I want you to look at particularly that word spectacle. It's where we get our English word theater from. It word means to put on stage. And basically what he's saying here about these Hebrew believers is they were put out in public and they were the object of public derision. And we know history books tells us that these believers experienced a lot of suffering because of their faith. Matter of fact, shortly after this particular time in Rome, they were placed in the Roman Colosseum, and they were put out there, and they were thrown to the lions. They were martyred for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thousands of people would come and fill that Colosseum and watch as these believers were being torn apart by these lions, giving their life, never backing down, never relenting, never saying, I want to recant, I don't believe in Christ. Every one of them went to their death still saying, Jesus is my Lord. Folks, listen, we need to have the same kind of faith. We need to have the same kind of commitment. The more these Christians suffered, the more the people in the stands enjoyed it, But they were put on display because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever been made a public spectacle because of your faith in the Lord Jesus? Think about that. Maybe in school, if you're still in school, of course, I know we're not having school right now, but maybe sometime in your life as you were in school, that people in school laughed at you or made fun of you because you were a believer in Christ, because you went to church on Sunday and Wednesday nights and you were faithful to the Lord Jesus, and people made fun of you simply because you believed in Christ. Or maybe on your work today, maybe there are people who make fun of you while all the rest of them are gambling on ball games, or they're telling all their dirty jokes, or they're flirting in the office, and you dare to live a different kind of life. Maybe you even have a Bible on your desk and they look at it and they laugh at you because you dare to be different from them. You know, when you're living a life separate from them and you're living the life that Christ wants you to live, it makes them very uncomfortable. And a lot of times the way they handle that is they lash out at us to try to make us feel bad. But listen, you don't need to feel bad. You need to continue on, keep being found faithful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if you're made a spectacle of, it's all because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, it is worth it. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, so many times when people make fun of us, we just want to kind of slink away and kind of, you know, well, I don't like that. Well, listen, it ought to be something that we say, you know, you can laugh at me all you want to. You're not going to change my mind about my belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to live for Him. He is my Lord. He is my Master. I love Him. And I'm going to continue to dedicate my life to Him. And you need to do the same thing, because one of these days you're going to see Him face to face and you will confess Him, but then it's going to be too late. So he says something else very interesting in the last part of verse 33. Partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. Now think about that for a minute. He says, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become involved with every person who knows Jesus as their Savior as well. Every born-again child of God is your brother or your sister in Christ. Understand, not just all Baptists are believers, folks. We know that. We understand that. There's other people besides Baptists who are saved, and they are my brother and my sister in Christ. I don't care what denominational tag that they have hanging on them. They are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are my brother and my sister. And we become a companion of every brother or sister in the Lord. And because of that, sometimes we bear reproach that comes on them because we are identified with them. And we need to understand that. But you know what? I'd rather be with the Lord's crowd than any other crowd I know. I'd rather be named with them. Sometimes there's a reproach that's attached to being a follower of Christ, but I want the whole world to know today, I identify with Jesus Christ. I am a child of the living God. I identify with the born-again crowd. Warts and all, that's my crowd. And let's be honest, we all have some, you know, some things in our life that are kind of, but warts and all, that's my crowd, the born-again crowd. I belong to the crowd that believes all of the Bible instead of a Bible full of holes. See, I am on my way. There's no turning back for me, and I hope there's no turning back for you. I look on all the past victories in my life and see how God has worked in my life, and you can do the same thing. And you have to say, man, isn't that wonderful? All that Jesus has done for me, it's a wonderful thing to think about all the victories. Now, notice how you get the victory when you have these troubles, though. He said in verse 34, for you had compassion on me in my chains. One of the ways you survive during the days of struggle is to get your thoughts on others. And I said this a few weeks ago, is during this time, instead of focusing on ourselves, we need to focus on other people and try to see what we can do to help other people in these days that we're living in. He says then, you joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. Evidently, their own property had been seized simply because they came to know Christ as Lord of their life. Because they were a believer in Jesus, their property was being taken away. How would you feel If someone began to take away your property from you simply because you called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says that they joyfully accepted that, the plundering of their goods. It takes a lot of grace to do that, wouldn't it? I think so. It would take a lot of grace. And I think God will give us that grace when those days come on us. And it could be, who knows when, it could be in the near future. So how could they be so happy when their own possessions was being taken away from them? Well, look at verse number 34. Knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. He's saying to these people, they came to understand that what they have in heaven is worth far more. It's a lot more precious than everything that they have down here. I hope that you understand that. Everything that we have down here is just temporary in nature. I don't care what you have. You may have the finest house in all of Williamson or Murray County, but it doesn't matter because one of these days that house is going to be dilapidated. It's going to crumble and fall. But what you have in heaven is eternal. Everything we have here is temporary, but what we have in heaven is eternal. And listen, it's going to be of everlasting value to you. Things that we have here, I've never seen anyone take a lot with them when they died. Have you? Well, I heard about one guy who in Texas who was wealthy, and when he got buried, he wanted to be buried in his Cadillac. Well, he may have been buried in it, but I don't think he's driving around anywhere, do you? So listen, things here are temporary. What we have in heaven is eternal. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. We need to be laying up treasures in heaven because that's where our treasure lies. And that's where we're going to be one of these days. A poem says, our Father is rich in houses and lands. He holds the wealth of the world in his hands. Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing, all glory to God, I'm a child of the King. A tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Listen, folks, that's our hope. That's the glory that we're going to get when we get to heaven. We're going to get the victory. Even though we go through all the struggles in our life, there's going to be a victory waiting for us when we get to heaven. And God gives us that home that he's prepared for us. And it's going to be worth everything that we went through while we were here on this earth. We won't even think about what we endured on this earth. Because then when we get there, it's going to put all that behind us. And we're not even going to worry about what we went through. So don't turn back. Think of your past victories and even your struggles and see how God has brought you through. But secondly, we all not turn back because of our present necessities. Number one, he says that we have confidence. Look at verse 35. He says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Now, he didn't say, don't cast away your salvation. That's not what he's talking about here, because we understand that as believers, we don't lose our salvation, but we can lose our confidence. We can lose our assurance. If we waver and we begin to look back, we kind of lose our assurance in the Lord. What we need on a daily basis is confidence in Christ. We need that confidence. In other words, we need to keep pressing forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. No turning back. Just continuing to look forward and moving forward. And one of these days, the Lord is going to say to us, there's a great reward here waiting for you. And let me tell you something. You're going to look back and you're going to say, wow, everything I went through was nothing compared to this that I've received. We also need in verse 36, a present endurance, because he says, for you have need of endurance. And that word endurance means to hold up under. It was a military term that was used to describe a soldier that took everything that the enemy had to hurl against them. I mean, everything, all the assaults, they just continued to bear up under that. They had enough strength, they had enough reserve to press on to victory and even to give something back to the enemy. So they took everything that the enemy hurled at them, but then they had enough strength that they just kept moving forward and they won the victory. And folks, that's what we need is endurance. So we need to hold up under whatever the enemy hurls against us, and we need to press on to victory. And even through this time today that we're going through, when all this pandemic is over the world, we need to press on. We need to have endurance. We need to stick with it. Trust God. He's going to bring us through this thing. And one of these days, a few months down the road, we're going to look back and say, wow, you know, that was a difficult time, but wow, wasn't God great through that whole time? Didn't God provide for us? Now, Satan will try to hinder you. He'll say, "Yeah, you've done enough. Why don't you just ease up a little bit? Back up a little bit. It's time to take a break. Just let up a little bit, folks." But we have need of endurance. The writer says something beautiful in verse 36. He says, "After you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Now, there is an exciting dimension to doing the will of God, and that is claiming God's promises in your life. Back when we were in chapter 6 of Hebrews, I pointed out something that I want to point out again today because I think it's very important that believers claim the promises of God as they move through their Christian life. In verse 12 of chapter 6, he says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I want to share with you again today what I shared with you several weeks ago, months ago or more maybe, the three factors involved in the promises of God. First of all, there's the trust factor, and that is our faith. You see, faith claims the promises of God. As you live for the Lord, as you walk for the Lord Jesus Christ, as you keep looking forward and you keep looking onward toward the Lord Jesus, you live on the basis of the promises of God. We're saved by faith, but we also live by faith. When God makes you a promise, by faith, you claim that promise. And so there's, first of all, that trust factor. You trust God to carry you through. Not only is there the trust factor, but there's a time factor. In chapter 6, verse 12, he says, "Through faith and patience, you inherit the promises." That word patience represents the time factor. You see, the promises of God are not always fulfilled the very moment that you claim them by faith. God said to Abraham, "I'm going to make your seed as numerous as the stars in the skies, as the sands on the seashores." But you remember, Abraham got to be about 100 years old and still didn't have that child that God had promised him. And you can imagine how tempted he was. Matter of fact, he even succumbed to that temptation once and had a son by one of the servants. But yet, he was so often tempted to turn around because God's promise didn't happen immediately. Well, listen, God's promises don't always come when we think they ought to come. It's his promise, and they come when he thinks they need to be here. He knows when we need them, and he knows how they can help us at that particular time. But Abraham kept on enduring. He kept on claiming the promises, and of course, we know that eventually that son came, and we know that his seed is as numerous as the stars of the sky now and the sand on the seashore, because he didn't turn back. He kept on enduring. Even though he faltered, he still kept enduring, and I think we need to do the same thing. We may falter a little bit, but we need to keep enduring, and we need to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus. That's the time factor. But now watch. There's the trust factor. That's our faith. There's the time factor. That's patience. But then there's the thrill factor. And the thrill factor comes when it says you inherit the promises of God. Now, our text says in verse 36, "For you have need of endurance." Again, that's the time factor. "That after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." That's the thrill factor. You may receive the promise. What he's saying is, don't ever quit doing the will of God. Don't ever quit doing the will of God. Just keep moving forward. Don't turn back. Keep your eyes forward. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus. Don't turn back from the promises that God has made to you. Keep enduring. Keep moving forward. And folks, one of these days, you're going to receive all the promises that God has ever made for us. So there ought to be no turning back because of the past victories. There ought to be no turning back because of our present necessities, which is endurance and confidence. But then thirdly, we ought not turn back because of prospective realities. He shows us some of the things that are ahead as God's children that give us an added incentive not to turn back, not to fall back, but we need to keep on going for Jesus. And the first perspective is that the sure return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 37. He said, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry." I wish I could put into English the full impact of that statement here from the Greek. He's saying it's going to be just a little while until Christ comes. How long has it been since that statement was written? 2,000 years or so? Yeah. But he said to these people, it's going to be just a little while. And folks, listen, 2,000 years in light of eternity is just a speck. It's just a drop. It may seem a long time for us, and it is, but in the eternal plan of God, it's just a very, it's just a fraction, a nanosecond is what it is. So when you're really looking forward to something, sometimes it can seem like it takes forever, can't it? I remember when I turned 16 years old, I wanted my driver's license so bad, I didn't think I would ever turn 16. Did you feel that way? I thought, man, I can't wait till I get 16. It seems like the time just drugged by. And finally, I turned 16 and woo, I went out and got my license. And I thought, man, I have arrived now. Also, I was thinking back about all that and even graduation. And I feel so sorry for our seniors this year because of all this pandemic and that their schools have been closed and some of their graduations are going to be changed. And I saw a meme on Facebook yesterday where someone says, if you really want to get your kids, show them this. It was a picture of Governor Lee standing there, and he says, I'm announcing that all seniors will have to repeat this year of school. And I'm thinking, boy, that would be something for the seniors. They would really freak out if they said, I'm going to have to go back and repeat my senior year. That's not going to happen, guys. Just hang on in there. They're going to work it out for you. And I'm sorry that your graduation may be a little skewed, but you can look back on it years from now and say, wow, we had a very unique graduation ceremony because our graduation was interfered with by a pandemic. But He's going to keep you through that. But I remember thinking of my graduation. It didn't seem like I was ever going to get out of high school. But finally, graduation night came, and I got my diploma, and I walked out of there, and I thought, man, I wish I could go back. And then when you get into college, if you decide to go to college or any kind of trade school, you're going to think, man, I ain't never going to get through all this. But eventually, you get through the end of it, and you think, wow, that really didn't seem so long after all. Well, one of these days when Jesus comes, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting. We've been thinking, man, is he ever going to come? But when he comes, we're going to say, wow, you know, that really wasn't so long after all. And it's going to be well worth it all when Jesus comes. He's going to come, and he says he will not tarry. When it begins, it's going to be, folks, all at once, instantaneously. I had a neighbor ask me last week. He says, with everything's going on in the world today, he says, you think that we're in the great tribulation? I said, well, I don't think so. I said, I think that the great tribulation is going to be much worse than this. And I said, besides that, I'm still here. I think if this was the great tribulation, all of us as believers would already been gone home to be with the Lord. So that's my hope and that's my promise, and I'm sticking with it. I hope you do too. But I don't think this is the great tribulation we're going through, folks. It may be tribulation, but it's not the great tribulation. It's not that. This too shall pass. So we need to keep on keeping on. We need to keep our eyes heavenward. We need to keep trudging on for the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, not only is there the sure return of the Lord Jesus, there's a solemn review. Look at verses 38 and 39. He says, now the just shall live by faith. That's the third time that this Old Testament verse has been quoted in the New Testament. There's a quotation, that verse actually comes from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, and it's quoted three times in the New Testament, and each time it's quoted, it has a different emphasis. For instance, in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it's quoted, and the emphasis is on this. Listen, see if you can hear it. The just shall live by faith. The just. The emphasis is on the just. And then the second time it's quoted is in Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 11. And the emphasis is on this. The just shall live by faith. It's on our living by faith. Now it's quoted the third time here in the book of Hebrews, right before chapter 11, which is the faith chapter of Hebrews. And the emphasis is the just shall live by faith. That's where the emphasis is at. And the writer of Hebrews, when he gets into chapter 11, he's going to give us numerous examples of faith and how that faith was lived out in the lives of the Old Testament saints. You see, you're not only saved by faith, but you're living by faith. That's how the Christian life is to be lived, is to be lived by faith. And he says, if anyone draws back, now, when he says that, he's talking particularly about those who may be right on the edge of being saved, maybe like you today. I don't know. Maybe you're right on the edge. You've been right on the edge of being saved, but yet you're thinking about drawing back. God's been dealing with your heart. You've been getting right to the edge of accepting Christ. The Lord has a word for you today. And he's saying here, if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. The Lord's saying, you've got to come to me by simple faith or you won't be saved. Folks, that's the only way you can be saved is through the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then in verse 39, he says, but we, that it's those of us who are saved, are not of those who are unbelievers, those who have never accepted Christ, who draw back to perdition. That word perdition is just another word for hell, who draw back to hell. But of those who believe to the saving of soul, we are those who believe to the saving of the soul. Are you in the we this morning? Are you in the those? Listen, I hope that you're in the we, because if you're in the those and you draw back to perdition, that means that there's a great difference there. That means that there's a place called hell that's waiting for you. And the difference in those two, the we and the those, is that word believe. You have to believe. Believe means to commit yourself. Commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you in just a few moments that you would make a personal commitment by faith to Christ today if you've never done that. And when you do that, then you are of those who are the believing to the saving of the soul. Oh, the tragedy this morning of a person who draws near to Christ and then draws back to perdition. Folks, listen, you do not want to be that person. I'm asking you today to let the Lord Jesus speak to your heart. Let the Holy Spirit, as He's already speaking to you right now. There was a man over in the book of Acts that Paul had the opportunity to preach to. He had one of the greatest opportunities that ever any person ever had to come to Christ. He had the opportunity to hear the great preacher, the great apostle, Paul, plead for his very soul, and his name was King Agrippa. Paul presented the gospel of the Lord Jesus to Agrippa, and Agrippa said these words to Paul, "Paul, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Almost, he says, you persuade me." But there's no record whatsoever that King Agrippa ever trusted Christ as Lord of his life. He was almost, but he drew back. And I got a feeling that right now, matter of fact, one of my youth who accepted his call to preach years ago in the church that I pastored, he preached a message one time at a youth rally that we had in our association. And he preached on King Agrippa. And actually, he talked about the halls of hell. And he went through there and he gave examples of people who were in hell who had the opportunity to get saved. And he was using their own words and saying, almost, almost. King Agrippa kept crying in hell, I was almost there, almost, but lost. Almost, but I drew back. And look at me now. Think about all those people who have had opportunity to come to Christ in their life. But when they draw back and they never accept Christ and they die, they're going to hell, folks. That's what the Word of God tells us. And when they get there, all those memories are going to be there that when they could have accepted Christ. It's going to be a painful thing. I wouldn't want to be in that place, and I hope that you're not in that place. I hope that you'll know that you need to accept Christ in your life. What a tragedy it would be to be almost saved and yet still unsaved. Almost in and yet totally out. You need Christ in your life this morning. If you've never been saved, you need to trust Christ. He loves you so much, He died for you. He went to the cross to die for you. We're about to get to Easter. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to have our Easter services because of the extended restriction on the number of people that can meet. But we still celebrate the resurrection every single Sunday when we come together. And this morning, we're celebrating the resurrection because we remember the great love that Jesus had for us when He went to the cross to die for us, went to that tomb, buried 3 days, but then He came out victoriously alive. And right now, he's speaking to your heart, and He's saying, I want you to follow Me wholeheartedly. I want you to be My child. I want you to be totally dedicated to Me. I don't want you to turn back. I want you to keep persevering, keep trudging on, keep your eyes toward Me, is what He's saying. Christian, are you progressing forward in your maturity? Are you progressing forward in your Christian life? Or have you just kind of put it on idle? Don't ever put it on idle. Keep it full throttle for the Lord Jesus. He wants you to live for Him totally every single day. Don't turn back, but keep going for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message this morning. Keep going for Christ. Even in these days when we're frustrated that we can't meet together, I'm as frustrated as anybody because I miss everybody. I can tell how long to preach because right now I don't know how long I've been preaching. I didn't even look at the clock when I started. So I may have rattled on for an hour. I don't know. But see, when I'm preaching, I can tell when I need to quit because I can see everybody going to sleep. Amen. I'm kidding. But, I hope that you are going forward for the Lord Jesus Christ every single day. In the midst of everything that we're going through, we can still be Christians. Don't think about yourself. Think about your neighbors. I know I've been talking to some of my neighbors, offering help to them. I actually got to help one lady just the other day, and I was so thrilled that I could help somebody out during this time. I thank God for our deacons because they've been calling their families and checking on you guys. And if you have need, please call the church. We are here. Most of the time, we may be in and out here in the next month or so because we may be working at home some. But if we do, we're going to make sure that the phones are forwarded to one of us so that we can take calls that come in. But I hope that if you have needs, that you'll call us so that we can make sure that your needs are met. We're here for you. We love you. And if you need anything, you just give us a call and we'll do our best. I want to close in a word of prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Let's pray together. Father, thank You again for Your word. Lord, thank You for loving us enough to die on that cross so that we could have salvation. And Lord, as we have accepted You in our life, Lord, help us now to continue on. Lord, never looking back, always keeping our head forward, keeping our eyes on You. Lord, knowing that the times may be tough, the times may be difficult, but Lord, as we get to heaven, we're going to look back and realize that everything was worth it. There was nothing that we could have went through that could have given us or taken the joy away from us that we have when we get to see You face to face. I pray for that person today that may be right on the edge of coming to You. I pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit right now would speak to that heart and let them know that they need to just simply pray, Lord, come into my life. I'm a sinner. I need You, Lord. Save me. Forgive me of my sins and help me to live for You. I pray that that prayer would be prayed by many today. And I ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you again. I want to say to you, I'm going to get an email out today, but I just want to let you know in case you didn't get the email. We are canceling our service through the month of April because of the extension made by the president and the governor that everything be closed, no groups of more than 10 for another month through the month of April. And then at the end of the month of April, we'll reevaluate and see where we're at and see what's going on in the world. As far as the Easter program, when we get back in to meeting. We're going to set aside one Sunday, and we're going to have a big Easter Resurrection Sunday celebration. And the choir is going to be singing, and we're going to be talking about the resurrection. And we're just going to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ because of His glory and His resurrection. And we're going to just have one day that we're going to celebrate that when we come back together. So don't think that we're just going to overlook it. It's not. We're going to make sure that we do that. So I hope that you will just hang in there. And again, if you need anything, call. Love you guys. Miss you. I will see you next time. God bless you.